When Jesus comes for us, the tribulation does not begin immediately. There's a short season. I don't know how long it is. The tribulation does not begin with us. The tribulation, we find, begins in Daniel chapter 9, where the Antichrist signs that agreement with Israel. And by the way, there was an agreement this week. I don't know how it's going to hold out. Somebody sent me a text. Isn't it amazing that Trump can sign an agreement with the Hamas, but he can't sign an agreement with the Democrats? Yeah. That's a whole other story. You know, you get the point about the peace. The whole world's looking for peace and all. Well, till the Prince of Peace comes, we're not going to get perfect peace. Where was I going before I got off on? Oh, the Gog and Magog. Okay, that in between, that the Antichrist will sign that agreement with Israel. And I believe that takes place after the armies of the north comes and invaded Israel. They will invade Israel, okay? And then the Antichrist comes up. We got to have peace, fellas. Got to have peace. That first battle, everyone is defeated from the north, the armies of the north in the battle of Gog, except 1/6 of the armies. We find that in Ezekiel 38 and 39. 1/6 goes back up north. In other words, 5/6 of the army is destroyed. God wipes them out supernaturally. God does this, okay? And I picture them like, is like they're like a whooped puppy with their tail tucked between their legs, you know, head back north. And that's when the Antichrist stands up, signs that peace agreement. The tribulation then begins. Are you following? 7 years takes place. Armageddon, Antichrist. So there's actually three battles. The battle of Gog and Magog, Armageddon that we talked about, and then the final battle that will ever take place, ever. And we're going to get into that about till enemies place under his feet, the purpose of the millennium. Anyway, that's the final battle of Gog and Magog when Satan's loosed. He deceives multitudes, the Bible says, as the sand of the sea. All these young people that have been born during the millennium, that's under the age of 100, many of them, most of them will follow Satan. And the Bible says they're all destroyed. So that's why there's two battles. 1/6 goes back. This last battle, they're all destroyed. So you see the battles, the difference there. Let me move on. There's so much here. But do you get that? I had to share that with Latrice, and she says, wow, I could have had a V8. I got it. You know, that kind of thing, like a light bulb. You know, in cartoons, a little light bulb, boom. So there's three battles, Gog and Magog, the first one, Armageddon, separated by about 7 years, Gog and Magog, separated another 1,000. Okay, let's move on. Let me read this. After 1,000-year reign of Christ, there's one final battle, the final battle of Gog and Magog. Christ has the final victory over Satan and now can claim the conditions of putting down all rule and authority. That's why this verse is so important. In verse number 24, that he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all power and all authority. That doesn't happen until the final battle of Gog and Magog, when he's completely destroyed his enemy. Are you following? And then an amazing thing takes place, and we talked about this in Bible study Ray Deardorff. He ought to be a doctor. He's an intelligent man, you know, with Ray Deardorff. We talked about this Thursday. About at the millennium, why? What? We know there'd be a millennium because of the promises and the prophecy, but why? What's the purpose of it? A couple of reasons. Number one, to show the depravity of mankind. Remember, they can't blame Satan. 1,000 years Christ ruled and he reigned. Perfect reign, perfect peace. You're not going to impeach him. You're not going to try to take him to... perfect rule of righteousness for 1,000 years, but yet people still rebel. It shows the depravity of mankind. And number two is what we were talking about Thursday morning. His last enemy must be defeated. And what is the last enemy? Death. I thought about this week. We talk about Christ has victory, and he did, over death, hell, and the grave. As his resurrection, he defeated the death, the grave, and he defeated that. But for all of man, that won't finally take place until the battle, that last battle of Gog and Magog, when he finally puts it completely under his feet. With all that in mind. And then he creates a new heavens and new earth, and he delivers up the kingdom to the Father. Now, I'm going to read the rest of it and that way to make sense to you, okay? Let me give you an overview. 1,000-year reign of Christ, Gog and Magog takes place. Satan is cast into the lake of fire. I didn't read that, but where dwells the beast and prophet are? Remember, I talked about the first two inhabitants of the lake of fire, Antichrist, the false prophet. Who's the third inhabitant? Satan. Then following them will be all unbelievers who have been resurrected. We read that in Revelation chapter number 20, 10, 11, something like that, through the rest of that chapter, where death and hell gives up the dead, and they stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment, and they are judged out of the books according to their works, and I won't have time to go there. But the point is, they now are cast into the lake of fire, where they will live forever and forever. Revelation chapter number 20, and it ends there. Revelation chapter number 21 and 22 is a new heaven and a new earth and something called the New Jerusalem. Matter of fact, let me read Revelation 21 verses 1 and 2. Throw that up there, Greg. Revelation 21, 1 and 2. Now, this is after the millennium, after the great white throne judgment. And during this time, it does not say, but Peter tells us that Jesus burns this earth up. He renovates it. When he creates a new heaven and earth, he don't blow it up and just creates a brand new one. No, the first one was covered by water in days of Noah. When he renews this earth in Revelation 21, he burns it up by fire. So the word regenerates, kind of like we see even today. When something burns, you know, the grass or the field, what comes up after that? That nice new green sprouts and all. Of course, it's going to be perfect, but you get the picture. He creates a new heaven, new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. And I love this. There was no more sea. Every time I think of this, I think of Ada Wilbanks. She goes on cruises all, and so do the Richard and Pat. They go on cruises all the time. Y'all better enjoy it, because in the new heaven, new earth, there are going to be no more sea. There ain't going to be no more cruises. They're going to be all a landmass, okay? But that's a whole other point, okay? Now, look at this. Something else is going to be new. New heaven, new earth. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. So here's a picture I want you to get. He creates a new heaven, new earth. Jesus comes down in the new Jerusalem, and you get the picture of it. Later, as you read it, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide. That's like from Miami to New York to the Colorado Rockies. About, get that picture, how big of a basis, and it goes up that high. Okay, Jesus is going to be the light of that city. He's going to be with us forever, for eternity, here on this terra firma. Now, here's the picture. He delivers up the kingdom to God. Everything, the sun, the moon, the stars, those galaxies are out of mind. They all belong to the Father. Jesus is going to now dwell with us permanently as he dwelled with Adam in the Garden of Eden. Remember that? Walked with him in the cool of the day. So as we get the next verse, I want you to see that. Literally, Jesus ruled for 1,000 years. King of kings and Lord of lords, and rightfully so. But after that reign, he gives all that up to the Father. You get the picture? This is yes. And if Joe gets it, she's nodding her head, anybody can get it. I'm just picking. You know I love you. Okay, but let's go a little farther now. You got the picture. And so the next few verses will make it even clearer. I want to give you the background. All right, let's start in verse number 24 again. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. This is after the millennium, even to the Father. When he shall put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign. Again, this is the purpose, one of the purposes of the millennium. He must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. It has not happened yet, but it will.